When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sports Beat KC, the Kansas City Star Sports Podcast. I'm Blair Kirkhoff, and this is the pre-NFL Draft Edition. Chiefs beat writer Jesse Newell and columnist Sam McDowell are here to examine the draft from every angle. We talk about the choices we made with our mock drafts, an exercise that did not go unnoticed by Andy Reid. But we also travel down the path of possibilities and what trading up or moving back could mean for the Chiefs. All right, let's get started talking NFL draft. We're going to talk about the NFL draft and the Chiefs' role in it, but first we need to talk about the news of the day, and that is the contract extensions for Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Mark Donovan. My question is, what in the world will Jay Glazer do at the Super Bowl next year when Andy Reid's locked up through 2029? He's got nothing to report.
Well, we had other national reporters that were saying Andy Reid was gone after this year. I really do believe Andy Reid that he takes this year by year. But all of us being around him, like, we don't see a guy that looks like he's on the verge of being ready to walk away from the greatest situation he's ever had in three decades.
The greatest situation any coach may have ever had.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the best situation ever for a head coach.
He always talks about he's really motivated by the day-to-day stuff. And just, you know, we talk to him every year. We talk to him at training camp in St. Joseph in his dorm room. And he's got, you know, his play sheet from last year. And he's got documents and papers. And he's just into that day. What can he get done that day? And so he seems really into this. Listen, for all of us, health can pop into things and make things difficult or change the perspective of what might happen in the future. But Andy Reid does not seem like a guy that is ready to step away from football and move on to a life without it. And so I think that's why this makes sense for him. Good for Brett Veach as well. You know, he's a guy that seems to have earned that contract extension too, with all that he's done and able to keep the Chiefs up top of the NFL, even through the transition to, I know, you know, Sam, we talk about all the time that the transition to the Patrick Mahomes cost years, you know what I mean? And for the Chiefs to not have a major purge like the Bills did this offseason, still be able to go out and sign some free agents and at least not purge most of their roster like some teams have to do. They've kept their window open a long time, and a lot of that credit goes to Brett Veach and him being very steady throughout things, even when things got a little bit sticky with the Chiefs when it came to certain positions or players.
And, of course, this is Brett Veach's moment this week. We'll talk about it in a second. But before we let go of this topic, we have had to deal with the Andy Reid rumors at the Super Bowl each of the last 2 years. And I wish he would just be more definitive when knocking those down. Because on Super Bowl Sunday, when Glazer had his report, you know, nobody got to talk to Andy Reid. That was difficult to try to get him to knock down. But it stayed alive as a story throughout the day, the day they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And then, of course, last season, after the game, I think it was Adam Teicher who asked Andy at the press conference that occurs after the game, you know, are you coming back next year? The fact that he had to ask that question in that setting suggests that Andy doesn't swat those things down the way I'd like to see him, and the way he obviously, you know, is always had in mind he was going to continue to coach. If he's signed through 29, which is what the reports are saying, he's not thinking about retirement. Yes, the health issue is always there, and but I don't know if he ever seriously considered retiring. So anyway, that's where it is. Is there significance to the year, the 2029? I don't know if there's anything to that in particular.
you know, by then we have another couple stadium votes, I suspect. Or
I actually think one of the takeaways is that Clark Hunt has made him the highest paid coach in the league, because Clark Hunt notoriously has not spent money on his front office and or assistant coaches. And look, I mean, it's an owner stepping up to realize that at some point the contract has to match his guy's value, and that's just not often been the case here. So that was my biggest takeaway from it. And that was a report from the NFL Network. But if that's indeed true, we all, I think, believe Andy Reid should be the highest paid coach, but it still surprises me that this owner has made him one.
And Mark Donovan, of course, the third the vice president for business. I forgot exactly what his
team president.
Team president, right. And he basically oversees the business operation. And that, of course, he's the front man for the stadium issues.
Yeah.
On the Chiefs' end, and we'll be dealing with, and that includes the renovation for the World Cup or the reconfiguration for the World Cup. So Mark Donovan's been extremely busy in his role, and will continue to be over the next several years. It's the first time I think we've heard of a contract extension for him, at least paired with Reed and Veach. I thought that was interesting that he was added to the list.
Yeah, you're right. He's been more front and center publicly than ever before because of this. Now, 2020, I thought we saw a lot of Mark Donovan. It was during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a voting booth at the stadium, and Mark Donovan became the face of those issues for the organization. But you're right, Blair. I mean, Mark Donovan has been the face of the Chiefs this offseason. It's a roster that has not changed over that much, but there's still been tons of news with the team, and it's particularly because of the stadium vote.
Okay, let's talk a little NFL draft. Jesse, you threw out the first draft and the third mock draft of the store. I did the other two.
Andy Reid says you guys have had too many mock drafts.
I was just going to say, Andy Reid, it did not go unnoticed by a certain head coach down the road. What do you say for yourself?
I think he even pointed out that you guys have to come up with somebody different to pick the next time. And
listen, Sam, if you're playing the lottery or whatever, you want to give yourself as many chances as possible to just say how right you were. You know what I mean?
Or you have to guess wrong on the first try. I'm saving my good picks for later.
Chess, not checkers. So I mean, listen, it's draft season, and people read these. Listen, I read them. It happens. This is the time of year. Maybe every week we learn something a little bit different. So my first mock draft, I had him taken the offensive tackle out of BYU, Kingsley Sumataya.
There
you go. There's the name in case it's needed. And then the third one, Xavier Worthy, who has been linked to the Chiefs quite a bit just because of his speed and the ability to get down the field. I'm not sure I'm loving any of those picks because I've gotten zero right in the past and probably potentially get zero right in the future. But I thought it was interesting, guys, listening to Brett Veach at his press conference before the draft. He's usually – there's bits and pieces. You wrote about this, Sam, like the three hints of what he might do. There are some crumbs there to take in, and I thought it was particularly interesting. He said that he really likes the offensive tackle group kind of through the first round.
Through 40, I think.
Through
he said. Yeah.
But he really likes the receiver group through 50 and kind of through the second round. Listen, things don't always play out the way you want, and the Chiefs have done a really good job of remaining flexible and not pigeonholing themselves into certain situations. But I think the Chiefs have their druthers, and somebody falls to them, they want it to be a tackle to lock up the left tackle spot to have a competition for Wanya Morris and then come back in the second round. And they've been very comfortable lately taking a receiver in the second round and getting a guy that they like at that position where they feel like there's still some depth there. So that was my main takeaway, I think, from the Brett Veach press conference, is that I probably would have gone in thinking they're going to take receiver, and they still might take a receiver based on how the board falls. But I came away from that thinking they are more locked in on left tackle if one of those guys falls to them, and or if they can make a small trade up and go get the guy that they want.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think their ideal world is a tackle first round, wide receiver second round. It's harder for us to analyze what tackle they might be targeting. I think we might have an idea of what receiver makes a good fit for them, but or even our own thoughts on what receivers might make a good fit for them. I think tackle's a little bit tougher to analyze. Obviously, they prioritize long-armed guys, but If you're really good, look, if you're a struggling wide receiver in your first year, you can still play. Tackle's not really that way. I think would have to be somebody they think can be a starter for them on the left side. And so I think that's a tougher equation to solve for them in the first round. And therefore, if they go towards wide receiver, it might be for that reason. Hey, this guy can impact us immediately, even if he doesn't grasp it all immediately. The same way, I mean, Rashee Rice was not a finished product for the first 2 months of the season last year. Still made an impact for him.
But that suggests that they would be comfortable with Wanya Morris as the second-year player.
Donovan Smith.
And Donovan Smith, he's still out there, right?
And so right. I still think it would make sense to sign
bring him back.
Regardless, to be honest.
I think it's a fallback option. I did a story earlier this offseason about the Brett Veach types, and you're right, Sam. It's just harder to get a sample size on offensive tackle because they have not – for one, they haven't taken that many, and for two, they haven't taken guys in the first round.
Nobody high.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, when we're dealing with, okay, usually 10-yard split time is what they like with guys, and extra weight doesn't matter as much. I mean, we're talking about the Wanya Morrises of the world. We're talking about Darian Kennards of the world. We're not really talking about the kind of guys – and studies would show you that – really, the talent at tackle, you want to take them early. You want to take them first round. Those guys have a much higher hit rate, and you're able to get great value because, again, left tackles are expensive. Right tackles are expensive, too, on the free agent market. So it makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs to take a guy there and get the right guy. And, you know, I asked Brett Veach about trading up. You know, you have different circumstances every year, different draft capital, different team needs you might have to fill in. And, you know, we always know that he's aggressive, but he didn't seem opposed to it. And so it's very interesting because I look again at the – whether it's receiver or offensive tackle, the 22 through 27 range are all NFC teams. And we've heard from the Chiefs how it's been tougher to go trade with the Baltimore Ravens, even though the Ravens usually trade back with anybody in past years. Last year it didn't seem like the case, even when the Chiefs potentially wanted to go up and get Zay Flowers. The Ravens said, no, we'll take Zay Flowers. We want him to fumble in the AFC Championship game, not you guys. So I just think that 22 through 27, not only is that kind of a hot spot for maybe offensive tackle, but if the Chiefs love one of the receivers, guess who's at 28? Buffalo. Guess what Buffalo needs? A receiver. We saw this happen 2 years ago with the Chiefs. They went up and got McDuffie. They beat Buffalo to the punch. They got their guy, and they beat out an AFC rival to do that. I could definitely see the Chiefs moving up that 22 to 27 range. If it's not for an offensive tackle, it could be for a receiver, just to say, not only are we going to take this guy, we're going to keep him from you.
An interesting draft position belongs to the Tampa Bay Bucks at 26. You know, I think you could find, when you're looking for a trading partner in that realm, you're probably looking at a non-contender in the AFC, and certainly and there's nobody in the division who'd be drafting there. So an NFC team and one that you preferably don't play this season, Tampa Bay falls into those categories.
So you know there's only two AFC teams that drafted. I think it's in the 10 picks in front of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, and the 10 picks in front of them, there's only two AFC teams selecting. So I actually think there will be more opportunities for trade partners than there were a year ago.
Well, and the other thing about moving up to, let's say, 26, Blair, is that it's not going to cost you your whole draft. And we heard Brett Veach say this at his pre-draft press conference, which is like, he sees lots of team needs for them. You know, a center guard type of player since they lost Allegretti. You know, a cornerback since they traded away.
Interior
defensive line is still a need. You can always use an edge rusher. So he sees lots of needs. But if you're able to move from 32 to 26, okay, you're talking about maybe a third or fourth round pick this year. You still have the rest of your draft to go fill those draft needs that you have and potentially still go in the second round and go get the receiver that you want, even if you're going up there for offensive tackle.
There's one possibility. I know this is a little off script, that I just think
there's no script. What are you talking about, script?
The Chiefs should do it at some point, and I don't know if this is the year for it, but their pick is more coveted, I think, than like 29, 30, 31, particularly because of this fifth-year option that you get on first-round picks. And this is a year where there's a couple quarterbacks that it's questionable whether or not they're going to be first-round picks. Guys like Michael Penix for Washington, Bo Nix potentially from Oregon. Like, I don't think Bo Nix is a first-round guy, but, you know, we didn't think Lamar Jackson was a first-round guy. The Ravens sneak into the first round, and purely for that fifth-round option. This could be a year where I think the Chiefs could get assets for moving back. And I think they should target future first-round picks because it's the only way this organization, this Mahomes era, has even the opportunity to pick in the top half of the first round, the top 20 picks of the first round. I mean, if you get a team that feels like they're maybe a quarterback away from being in that mix, to be honest, the Rams love to trade draft picks. Matthew Stafford is not a long-term solution for the Rams.
And they don't have a first-round pick.
And so I could see them potentially thinking that getting into 32 and getting a future quarterback, a guy they can sit a year behind Stafford, makes sense. And then suddenly the Chiefs, you know, are rooting for two teams every week, whoever's playing against the Rams. I just think this could potentially – at some point I think this would make sense for them. To be honest, I think every year this would make sense for them. Mm-hmm. This might be a year where another team thinks it makes sense for a trading partner as well, though.
Can I say this about the Chiefs? I think what most impresses me about them is that thought going through your head, Sam. I bet it's gone through their heads, and they remain flexible. They do not go into this thing saying, oh, my God, Rashee Rice, what's going to happen? Got to take a receiver. Nothing else is on the table. I think they go through scenarios. They let the thing fall to them, and they see what's best for their organization, and they don't. I think so much in the draft, GMs, front offices just get so laser focused, not only on their own evaluations, but just have to do this, have to do that. And the Chiefs have just been so flexible through the years and let things fall to them, which is why we probably should even mention the Missouri kid, Darius Robinson. I know you wrote about him, Sam, because if there's just a huge run of offensive tackles and wide receivers and they can't trade out of that pick, there's a possibility that could be the pick for the Chiefs, because that is a position of need next to Chris Jones. And if that's going to be best for the organization, you get him for 4 years and feel like he can be a key piece there. Even with the guys the Chiefs brought back, that could be a long-term solution. And you just find yourself in a position where that's what's best for the organization. So even I would not rule that out for the Chiefs. And that's a credit to them that they don't go into this thing with just blinders on and forcing things. I think that's really where you get in trouble in the draft.
You know, like under that hypothetical, I mean, you know, the Saints, I think, could be another team that could maybe look towards the future. I don't think any of us think that Derek Carr is a long-term solution for the Saints.
But what, before you have that thought, so what you're saying, though, is if Penix or Nix isn't taken by, I don't know, 26, 27?
Yeah.
That's when you really need to be on high alert.
Yeah, for a possible trade. And I think, look, I asked Brett Veach for a reason on, what day do we get him? Friday. How does the trade come together? Does it come together earlier in the week? And he said, like, the days that we're recording this on Tuesday, like, that these are the, you know, Monday, Tuesday is kind of the time where you're calling other teams and figuring it out. It's the way he phrased it, make sure the phone numbers are still accurate. But, like, it's going to be – part of it is going to be out of their control, right? It's going to be on these other teams saying, you know, we might be interested in a quarterback if – or not even quarterback. We might be interested in your pick at the end of the first round. They might be comfortable telling the Chiefs it's for a quarterback because the Chiefs aren't going to be looking to draft that position. But, you know, the Saints could be a team that – they've got the 13th pick of the second round. If you can get next year's first and, like, swap your second-round picks – and so you're only moving back 13 picks, but you're getting a first, basically for the tail end of the you're getting a tail for the tail end of the second round. That is a really valuable trade for the long haul. And this is a team that, for all their contract structures, it's bridged for the long haul. They've structured Mahomes' contract. They get rid of guys like Tyreek Hill and Tyrann Mathieu because they're looking at the long term solution. And I just think, like, they haven't done it yet in the draft, where they're willing to say, we're playing the long game even in the draft. And this could be a year just because of the quarterback situation, more of what other teams want than as opposed to what they want.
To your point, I just had this pulled up from Kevin Cole, used for Pro Football Focus. He always does a surplus value of first-round picks. That's why this quarterback thing really matters on the fifth-year option, because it's so valuable. So, like, according to his surplus value picks, J.J. McCarthy is 24th on here, and Michael Penix is 25th, because you're talking about, this could be a win-win for both sides. This could be the jackpot for the Saints. If you get Penix in and he's good, if he's Lamar Jackson, and you got him for 5 years, I mean, you hit on better on the first round than you ever could with any other position. And so that's where this does make some sense for the Chiefs if they want to get out of that 32nd spot, and it is more valuable to another team than it would be the Chiefs. You could see a win-win scenario there. And again, the Chiefs would be cheering against that team, hoping he's not Lamar Jackson and hoping that the Saints or whoever would tank that year so they could get the 10th pick or whatever. But you could see this working out, and that's why quarterbacks are just a different calculation than other positions and why that fifth-year option really does come into play.
Well, who's drafting near the Chiefs that might be thinking the same way?
You mean at the tail end of the
first round?
The first round, yeah. I mean the 49ers, the Ravens. Yeah, I mean there's a lot of those teams, because if you're picking at the back end, usually you've got the quarterback situation solved. But that's another reason why those teams in the middle of the second round would make some sense. You know, you look at the Giants are in the middle of the second round, the Raiders are in the middle of the second round, the Saints, the Rams don't have a second. Actually, no, the Rams pick in the 20th pick of the second round. Like, those are teams that think they need to hop some other teams in order to get their guy. It's not just getting the fifth round option, but it's the combination of the two. So I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen them. You know, I remember 2 years ago when Brett Veach moved down in what was like the second or third round, and Mike Borgonza, the assistant GM, told us there was a golf clap in the room whenever he did it. Like, it's that, it's that rare that they're willing to do this.
Right.
Like, we have not seen them willing to pull this lever yet. And I just think this year it matches up a little bit for them, for that possibility to be out there at least.
I know the other side of me just thinks, like, what if one of these receivers starts to slip a little bit? And then you get the other side of the Brett Veach, right? Like, what if Brian Thomas Jr. just starts to slip a little bit into the mid-20s and the other receivers are taking a little bit higher? Like, don't we see the – it's like the little angel and devil. Like, don't we see the devil start and going, okay, what can I trade up to go get this guy that I think is just the piece on offense and worry about offensive tackle later? And listen, I mean, they want a secure offensive tackle. I get it. And a long-term solution absolutely should be what they strive for. But Mahomes made Donovan Smith work last year. You know, there's a part of this that he is so good at sack avoidance. He's so good at making this whole thing work. That you sort of can maybe kick this thing down the road another year and wait to draft that guy next year. I don't know. Again, the Chiefs have options here, which is kind of the enviable spot that they're in. So I can see a lot of different things happen, but it all depends on other people, and that's where you're at when you're number 32.
One of the things that worries me about drafting a tackle in the first round is they don't start. They have to develop. When was the last time the Chiefs drafted a tackle?
Well, Fisher started, right?
Fisher. That would be the...
But he was 1-1,
He was 1-1, and it took him a while to get comfortable in that position. Those guys just don't come in and play and are effective right away.
You know, the only caveat I'll say, and I agree with you, Blair, based off the grades, Donovan Smith did not play that well last year. So it's sort of like rating him against what the other options are right now. And Wanya Morris was admirable filling in, kind of stepping in his rookie year to do it. But even Brett Veach has talked about, like, hey, he had some ups and he had some downs. And it seems to me like...
Wanya Morris did not get rave reviews from either Andy Reid or Brett Veach.
He did not.
Publicly.
He did not. And so, listen, the other part of that is, if you have a third-round pick and he becomes a swing tackle, that's still pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, if he's a guy you rely upon, hey, your left tackle goes out, your right tackle goes out, you have him step in right away, you feel good about that spot, that's a fine use of a third-round pick.
That's what they wanted from Lucas Niang.
Yeah, and so that to me, like, Wanya doesn't – if he's a starter, great. I mean, you hit a grand slam. But if he's not, and he's a swing tackle, that's okay if he's productive in that role. But, yeah, I mean, Donovan Smith is just an interesting one out there because – again, other teams aren't jumping up to sign him. Maybe there's like a handshake agreement with the Chiefs to say, hey, we'll bring him back on if things don't go that way in the draft, potentially. But again, you go to the PFFs of the world, the grading metrics, the run blocking metrics. I mean, he had a rough season at times last year too. And so there very well could be rookie growing pains. But again, the data over time tells you that you pick in the first round, you get a tackle, those guys produce and are better normally. And so maybe you're starting at a kind of a shaky spot, but I think right now any place you look at for the Chiefs left tackle, it's a little bit of a shaky spot.
Was there one we drafted a total of 28 players, right? We had 4 mock drafts.
That's right, we didn't double up, you know. Right. We've got to put them all across the roulette board to give ourselves a chance.
Exactly.
You know?
There's no repeat draftee. Is there one that you felt like better about than others? Not necessarily the first round, but someone in any of the rounds that you thought, boy, this really could happen?
So after Brett Veach talked, I think it's Devontae Walker of North Carolina. Because when they're talking about the top 50 receivers and the guys that they like and they like the depth extending there, that makes me think that they're more likely to take a receiver in the second round, and there's more likely a guy like that they like better than consensus, kind of like a Rashee Rice last year. So I think that's the one I would circle. I had him in the first mock draft when Kingsley Suamataya was the offensive tackle. That's also the reason it's kind of interesting when you do these mock drafts, because the first pick affects the second pick, which affects the third pick. So you kind of have to mix them up a little bit, because give yourself contingency plans, because if the Chiefs go receiver first and you picked two offensive tackles, you got no chance of nailing the second round pick, because we know it's probably going to be one of the other two.
Right.
So I would probably go with him. I like your pick of Tyler Guyton in the last one, because I think he fits exactly what we're talking about here, which is end of the first round, potentially available, maybe slips just a little bit, and the Chiefs are happy to scoop him up and basically say, hey, you're going to be the left tackle of the future.
The other Texas wide receiver, Mitchell, was my other first round.
Mitchell, yeah.
Yep. But the one that I think I might feel best about was a third round pick. I think in the first mock draft that I did, it was a Boston College cornerback,
okay,
who seemed to really fit the profile of what the Chiefs like in corners. So I don't have my mock draft in front of me. It happened 3 weeks ago. I can't remember the lad's
name.
Just
keep talking. We'll get it for you.
Yeah. So, Sam, you've never done a mock draft. If you had done a mock draft this year, what would you have – what would have tempted you?
First-round pick, Ladd McConkey, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I've seen him in some mocks.
And the reason I think his skill set makes particular sense is some NFL people, I think, are going to look at him and think he's a slot wide receiver, but he was mostly ex-wide receiver in college. 75% of his snaps were outside, but – he's, I think, the as good a separator as there is outside of the top three guys and the top four guys in the draft at that position, being Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze. So I just think they need somebody that can create separation. And it, like, he creates separation like at the top of routes too. So I think he's a really good fit. I have questions about both the Texas guys. And I think the Chiefs could get in a situation where they're looking at the two Texas guys. I mean, Texas was a pass-heavy offense, and Mitchell had, I think, like seven games where he caught less than three passes last year. That would concern me. I think when you look at Xavier Worthy, to me, they've drafted a guy once before that was just a track star with Mecole Hardman, and he was not did not develop into the fine-tuned wide receiver. And so I think there's questions about both of those wide receivers. Having said that, I think they'd both be on the Chiefs' list. I agree with Jesse that, like, I took away from Brett Veach that second-round wide receiver could be more as in play as a first-round wide receiver. And I watched a few Michigan games last year. I think Roman Wilson is a really good wide receiver. And both those guys I've mentioned with McConkey and Wilson, the number one knock on them that most NFL scouts have is going to be size, height.
Right.
It's just never been an issue for the Chiefs, which is why I think those guys – could be players that are higher up on the Chiefs board that are other than they are other teams, and therefore the Chiefs are thinking this guy fell too far and there's some value here.
They've never been with Mahomes, they've never been a jump ball type of
right
passing offense.
Exactly. Yeah.
By the way, Elijah Jones, the cornerback from Boston College, whose name eluded me.
That article I did where I was looking at Chiefs receivers in the past that Brett Veach has drafted, what matters, 10-yard split time was the highest correlated and the lowest was height. So exactly what you said. I think Rashee Rice was the tallest that he's taken as a receiver. If you're looking back, and he's, what, 6'1"-ish? But, yeah, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, that has just not been a thing. If you can separate or you can be fast, that the height thing has not really mattered. And we know that Patrick Mahomes, his preference, he does not throw it to tight spaces very often unless your name's Travis Kelce. So you need to be either away from a defender or open. The only thing I'll push back a little bit, Sam, is just that they always try to fill these things a year in advance. And Hollywood Brown right now is a one-year deal, and he's probably not going to be back next year. They do so much with just a speedster running down the field and opening up the intermediate for Travis Kelce or whoever the receiver is. But, I mean, we know MVS, who's not back with him again. Maybe they'll re-sign him, but he just does wind sprints, you know, just to clear the defense. It feels like they need a wind sprint guy for 2025. And, I know Worthy and A.D. Mitchell would both fit into that mold. Potentially McConkey would not. It would just – they figure things out before. It's just that's not his game, and it feels like they've always had somebody that has that as part of their game.
It's every time I watch Texas on TV this past season, and knowing who their receivers were, whoever was calling the game would always heap praise on those guys, and then I'd wait for them to make a big play, and I never saw it. You know, they talked about their NFL potential.
Totally agree. Yes.
And the K-State game, I remember when Texas got up big and K-State battled back and had a chance to win it in overtime. And I keep waiting for one of these guys to just have a monster day, and it just never seemed to happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up Mitchell's stats to that point, because there was some stat that I had seen about let me see if this pops up for me.
Then, of course, Worthy runs the time.
And here's the question, too, as Sam's looking that up. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. A.D. Mitchell's supposed to go 20-ish.
Mm-hmm.
What if he's at 32? You know?
Here's a stat about him that really caught my attention in comparison to the Chiefs with Mitchell. 3.2 yards after catch.
Mm.
Not known for his creativity or ability to make yards after the catch. That does not seem like a Chiefs wide receiver,
right,
to me. And it's not like a guy who was in an offense that didn't lend itself to. First of all, he's playing against Big 12 defenses.
Right. He's got Steve Sarkisian as a coach.
Yes, who's just pass heavy. There's just like the numbers to me for him were a little bit un-Chiefs like, I thought. And I can't find the stat about how many games. I think it was like 7 games under 3 catches. It was something like that, to where I thought, wow, disappears in a lot of games. And they did not play the type of schedule to where you thought, well, you know, they're in the SEC, they're playing just incredible defenses.
The only counter to that, Sam, again, is like Rashee Rice is a yak monster. Travis Kelce, you know, used to be a yak monster, a little bit less so now, but they have those pieces. Yeah. Do they have
Tyreek and McColl, though, too?
Do they have the guy that runs fast down the field that lets those other guys be the yak monsters? You see what I'm saying? Like, and those guys are hard to get because the Chiefs paid up for MVS. You know what I mean? Like, in free agency, that's tough to get. It's tough to get the guy that can just take off downfield and be that. Unless we talk about, you know, maybe they just bring back McColl Hardman for a year and serve that role if they're not able to get one of these guys. So I don't know. I definitely see your point, though. You're right. In the Chiefs' realm, yards after catch has been a big deal because they scheme guys open. We've talked about how they throw it short so often. Mahomes has changed from the deep thrower. Now he's the short thrower, and he's kind of Tom Brady-ized himself. So I definitely see your point there that if they have another receiver like that, they'll utilize him. I just wonder about the one dude they need. And maybe that's not a first-round pick. Maybe it's a third-round pick. Maybe it's a fourth-round pick, point.
I think in that sort of situation, I've always debated, even like internally with some Chiefs people, what is the real value of like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, just because they don't throw it to him deep.
No. He reminds me of a corner shooter in basketball, don't you think? Like, well, like a guy stands in the corner and his defender stands next to him, and he doesn't do anything else, but like, you know, his defender is going to be out of the way so your big man can go score in the paint, you know?
But like P.J. Tucker still hits that shot, and like Marquez does not. Like, he doesn't catch passes. I don't think it was.
Have you forgotten the AFC Championship, Sam?
Until the playoffs.
My goodness, Sam. How quickly you forget.
I think if you're going to draft that guy, I don't think that should be the reason you're drafting a first-round pick. You know, you mentioned the kid from North Carolina, for example, who's also a fast receiver. Like, if you take a guy like that in the third or fourth round, I think that's fine.
Where'd you mock him?
I mocked him second round because it seems like these receivers all the time, even last year with Rashee Rice, he was seen as a third-round guy that she's traded up to be sure to get him in the second round. Again, it worked out for them. But these receivers, it always seems like you're always just pushing a little bit more because people know their value so much. So get him at the end of the second round with your tackle in the first. The Chiefs are probably would love that scenario and then able to build depth with the rest of the draft.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you guys on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Late into the evening, at least on the first 2 days. That will do it for this episode. Thanks to producer Randy Mason for putting together the show, and to our SportsBeat KC staff of Monty Davis, Jeff Rosen, and Scott Chasen. Tip of the cap to Sam McDowell and Jesse Newell for sharing their Chiefs draft insights. All right, here's the weekly plug for the Morning Sports Edition, the Star's digital sports page. You get all of our coverage of the Chiefs, the Royals, the colleges, soccer, and everything else, plus national and international sports news. Check it out at liveedition.kansascity.com. Thanks for listening. Please leave us a rating and a review. We'll be back soon with another SportsBeat KC, where we talk sports in and around Kansas City.